we thank you for this Wednesday evening service. And we will not treat this night, Lord, as just a regular meeting. This is a special night because you're here with your body. And we have come to seek and find you and love you and worship you in spirit and in truth. We've come, Lord, to learn your word and then apply your truth. We're going to come, Lord, to your table tonight where we celebrate the remission of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, where we celebrate the new covenant, the cup of the new covenant, the blood of Jesus. And Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, Lord, we lift up those in our body, George Horner, and Lord, all those that are ill, Bill McCulley and Sherwin, all those we just continue to lift up to you for healing. Lord, for the missions team, that their passage all the way down and back is a perfect trip. Keep them safe and prosper them in all that they do. Lord, we pray for Angie tonight, who was injured there in the cafe. Lord, be with her as well and just touch her body. And Father, we just come to you tonight also knowing that if we have sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we've quenched, grieved, or vexed the Holy Spirit in any way through our rebellion, through our stiff-neckedness, oh God, have mercy upon us. We seek forgiveness, cleansing by the blood of Jesus. And Father, Jesus, our Lord, told us that, he said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Lord, our Savior said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will also do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, Father, Jesus said, he will do it. Tonight, boldly, we step out in faith. And Lord God, if there is any demonic activity from the nursery to the main lobby to the cafe to the chapel, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, unhand the people of God. And Lord, let there be free reign of your Holy Spirit tonight in this service. Now we look to you. We boldly look to you. And we look to no other. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 15, please. As I turn there with you, Genesis chapter 15. Wonderful study tonight. The Abrahamic covenant there is in front of us, and the vision that God gives Abraham after the battle of the kings. Genesis chapter 15. It's a wonderful thing to believe the Lord, isn't it? To trust God's word, to rely upon him. In other words, when we believe upon the Lord, the word believe means literally to cast all of your weight upon him. In other words, you're relying, clinging to, and believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're believing in God's word. So tonight, as we look in Genesis chapter 15 about Abram believing, let's begin in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. That tells us how. It says, in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So after these things, what things? Well, after the defeating of the kings and the rescuing of Lot and the blessing that came through Melchizedek. So we remember from chapter 14, it was God who gave Abraham the victory over the kings there and brought back the spoils of war. And instead of taking any of it, he gave a tenth unto the Lord, the top of the heap. And so, but what's wonderful tonight is we look at our text. This is another series of first mentions. So it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came. Now that's the first time that's mentioned in the Bible. It's not the word of man that came. May I say something to you about the word of man? It's wonderful that man can speak and we have the power of speech and we have the power to encourage and bless and so forth. But man, there's nothing like the word of God. Amen? And the word of the Lord, that's what you need tonight. You and I, we all need tonight a fresh, we need the word to come alive in our hearts. We need a vision again of Almighty God. And it says there that this first mention, the word of the Lord came in a vision. And what an incredible vision it was. The word of God. The word of God, which God has exalted above his very name, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And did you notice there in verse 1 that God called Abram by name? Do you know that God knows your name tonight? He knows all about you. He knows what you've been doing all week long. He knows your ups and downs. He knows the truth about you. He knows the truth about me. God knows everything and still loves us. Amen? Now that's a blessing. But he knows your name. Jesus said in John 10:3, you know, our New Year's scripture, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Aren't you glad you're following the Lord tonight? You know what? By his grace, you're following him. And if you were not following him, I promise you, all of us would be following something else in this life. But we're following the Lord. And he loves us. He's here with us tonight. And so here in verse 1, you have the first mention of the word of the Lord, the first mention of the word vision in the Bible, shield, reward, the first mention of one of the great I ams of Scripture. He says, I am your shield. And then you have the first mention of do not be afraid. Now, the word afraid, of course, is mentioned concerning Adam, where it says that Adam was afraid. But here is the first mention of do not be afraid, or in the King James it would say, fear not. May I tell you that God knows when you're afraid. He knows when you're discouraged. And God's answer to our fear is the same as Abraham's tonight. How would you like to be Abraham? I mean, can you imagine? Listen, did Abraham have a Bible? No. Hello. Come on. I mean, how would you like to be 75 years of age and God calls you? And you don't even have a child. Sarah's old, Abraham's old, and they're childless, and God calls them to go into a strange land where they're strangers and sojourners. They don't even have a Bible, folks. And they just obey the Lord. God knows when you're afraid. Why was Abram afraid? Because he was. I mean, I look back and I say, well, was it because the battle is now behind him? Have you ever been in a fight? God forbid, but I'm talking about like a fist fight. You know what I'm saying? I hope you haven't. But if you have, you're not afraid while you're fighting. It's after it's all over you start trembling. Okay. You understand what I'm talking about. And you're going, am I insane? What have I done? And you're just shaking and trembling. It's after the battle. Have you ever noticed that? Yes. Okay. I can tell you're ready for God's word tonight. The battle was behind him. The king of Sodom, he was behind him. All of Abram's allies that were with him that fought in the battle, they're behind him. Lot is gone. He's gone back to Sodom. And Abram is all alone. And sometimes when you're all alone, you know what God does? He speaks and he says this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am all that you will ever need. He says, Abram, don't be afraid. I am your protection. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. I'm your provision. I'm your protection. I'm all that you're ever going to need. Now listen, I am your shield. I'm not any shield. All that I am is your shield, Abram. Have you heard the voice of the enemy lately? You know, of fear creeping into your life? Do you know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind? Amen. We don't have, and so faith has an object. We look to our shield. We look to our God. Let me read a few things in the Bible about our shield tonight. And if you want to turn there, you may, or just please jot them down and read them later. Psalm 3:2, listen to this. It says, David says, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. In other words, it's all over, David. The voice of the enemy rising up, and he's saying, listen, you don't have any help anymore. There is no one for you. God's not going to help you this time. And what the psalmist is saying, or maybe you're saying tonight, maybe the situation that you're in looks hopeless. And you know what David said? He said, listen, he said, they're saying there's no help. Nobody's going to help me. And David says this, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. God is our shield tonight. Amen. The word, listen, he surrounds us. He's not only our shield. God is the lifter of our head. God says in his word here to Abram, he says, myself, all that I am, all that my name is, he says, myself is your shield. And Christian, we have the shield of God. Amen. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 5:11. It says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. You protect them. You cover them. Let those also who love you, love your name, be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor and you will surround him as with a shield. We have everything we need tonight. Amen. God is our shield. One more time, listen to this one. Psalm 18:28. For you will be my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by you I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Here it is. He is a shield, not to everyone. It says God is a shield to all those who trust in him. All who believe in him and rely upon him and look to him. Amen? Do you believe in the Lord tonight? Do you believe that he's really your shield? Or are those just empty words on a page? I'm challenging you right now. I'm provoking you right now. This is the word of God. Listen again. It says his way is perfect. The Lord, he said his way is proven. That means it's tested. It's tried. God's ways are perfect. Amen? He has a perfect shield. He loves you. He surrounds you. One more. Listen to this one. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. How much grace do you need tonight? Whatever you need, he has it. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God becomes what we need. Because he is El Shaddai. He is, in other words, literally my interpretation of El Shaddai when it talks of God, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. God is with you all the time. He is our shield. And it's about time that the church of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to pick up our shield, taking up the shield of faith by which we'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen? I'm telling you, we need to remove the hand of the wicked one from oppressing us this week. I'm telling you, I mean, where you speak to it. You know what I do sometimes? Even when I'm alone. Even when I'm in my car. Even when I'm in my office. When I'm in this sanctuary and it's all dark and I'm all alone. You know what I say? I say, are there any demons in here? Then I command you in the name of Jesus to depart. You get out of this place. You bow. You run at the name of Jesus. You tremble at the name of Jesus. You're defeated. Amen? Amen. Unhand God's people. God grows weary in his spirit of those who say they belong to God, yet filth pours forth from their mouth. Do you know that corrupt communication, corrupt meaning rotten, putrid talk that comes from the mouth of a believer, do you know that it grieves and saddens and vexes and quenches the Holy Spirit of God? Words. 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 God is our shield. The devil is our defeated enemy. Amen? I will not give no opportunity to the wicked one. No opportunity. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Abraham here is a believer. I thank God that he'll uphold, not withhold one good thing from us. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, one more scripture, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Christian, God is our shield tonight. Amen? Just like with Abram. Now listen, Abram was afraid. When you're afraid, look to your shield. Let me ask you a question. Listen, tell me who or what is greater than our Father in heaven? Is sickness? No. How about unemployment? No. Is unemployment bigger than God? No, it's not. Our fears, our problems, are demons bigger than God? No. Man, we need to know the Word and we need to trust Him. We need to have a mental adjustment and a heart adjustment and say, listen, God is my shield. You're walking through this life and you feel like all these things are coming against you and they should be bouncing off of you. We need to cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? We need to take thoughts that are trying to take us prisoner. We need to take those thoughts prisoner, lock them up in jail and say, uh-uh, you're not going to come into my mind. I'm not going to listen to you because you're the voice of the enemy. You're the voice of a stranger and I'm not going to follow you. I am not going to listen to you. I'm going to trust in my God. Abram, don't be afraid. I'm afraid sometimes. Sometimes I'm afraid in the middle of the night. I wake up and I don't know which way to go. I'm praying about this and praying about that. But I know that for every day that I live on this earth and every day that you live on this earth, there is a do not fear from our God. Amen? He says, oh, don't fear. Fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. But perfect love cast out all fear. Amen? Don't be afraid. You know why you don't have to be afraid? Just like Abram. He says, Abram, I'm your shield, but I'm also something else. I am your exceedingly great reward. God doesn't say here in His Word that He's going, you know, God doesn't say, I'm going to reward you, Abram. He says, myself, I am your reward, Abram. I'm your reward. Listen, if God is our reward, you can never lose. In other words, He is our portion forever. Let us not fear. Let's just keep working until Jesus comes. Remember what He said in Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. That means unexpectedly. That means suddenly. I'm coming quickly. And here it is. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So Abram, don't worry. You don't have to fall apart. I'm protecting you. And I am your provision. And look at the vision as it continues in verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? Now, isn't that amazing? God just said, I am your reward. I'm your shield. And this, isn't Abraham just like us? You know, you get a vision from God. You get a word from God. And Abraham goes, you know, oh, well, Lord God, what will you give me? You know. Come on. Isn't that us? Seeing that I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, oh, look, you've given me no offspring. I mean, I know you're my reward. I know you're my shield, oh, God. Oh, hello. But you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house, he can be my heir. In other words, God is saying, Abraham is saying, listen, Lord, have you seen me lately? I mean, you know, when you called me, I was 75. Now I'm 85. 10 years. And you know what? Sarah's not getting any younger. We still don't have any children. And he says, you know what? Time is kind of running out. How about this guy? He's a young lad. He was born in my house. And he's one of my servants. And let him become my heir, my son. You know, that's a bad way to talk to the Lord, really, isn't it? You know, because the thing is that God's promises are always fulfilled in His time and according to His way. All that God requires of us is one thing. Just believe Him. Amen? And He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, no, hey, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So what does God do? God reminds him of the promise He gave him 10 long years ago. There in chapter 12, where it says, I will make you a great nation. What's God saying? He's saying, Abram, listen, you know, your plan is just not going to work. In other words, I have a plan, Abram. It's going to be by my power, not by your power. You understand? And that's always the way it's going to be. So the vision continues, and it says this. And then God brought Abram outside. Don't you just love that script? I don't know why. That always touches me every time I read it. I mean, can you see it? We're in a vision right now. And God just brings him outside and says, oh, Abraham, look now toward heaven and count the stars. Go ahead, just count them, Abraham. Look up there and start counting. If you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants, or so shall your seed, or your offspring be. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? God tenderly taking Abram out and says, oh, Abram, look. You know, you're asking for one child. I'm telling you, look at the stars, Abram. You're going to have a lot of descendants. Amen? Isn't that like God to give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think of? That's what God always does. He says, oh, just look at the stars. And you know what I find in my life, and I know in yours as well, you know what God always does? He always gives us a visual to increase our faith. You know, over in chapter 13, what did he say? He said, look at the dust, Abram. Look at the dust. If you can count the dust, he said, so shall the number of your descendants be. And now look, he says, now look at the stars. So in other words, Abram, no matter if you look down to the ground at all that dust or you look up at the stars, it's going to be a reminder of my promise to you. God is always giving us visuals to increase our faith for him. Amen? Now what did Abram do? The same thing we must do. It says, and Abram believed. Underline that. Abram believed. He believed God. He believed in the Lord. And what happened? And God accounted. You need to underline that word, believed and accounted. He accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. What did Abraham believe? What did he believe? So shall your descendants be. Are you listening to me? He looked up, he saw the stars. Abraham, so shall your descendants be. If you can number them, that's how many there's going to be. What happened? Abraham simply believed God. Did Abraham do anything else? No, he didn't do any works. Listen, he simply believed God. And by him believing in God, Genesis 12:3 will come to pass. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right there before our very eyes. Let me ask you a question. How was Abraham saved? You know, he's an Old Testament saint. How was he saved? He saved the same way everybody's saved in the Bible. Amen? Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, he saved like everyone else. Was he saved by keeping the law? Well, no, the law wasn't even given for another 400 years. Was he saved by the ritual of circumcision? No, he wasn't circumcised until he was 99. He's 85. That's, 14 years? I don't know. Never mind. A long time. No, how was he saved? Just like us. By faith alone. Amen? Hold your place and turn to Romans chapter 4. Just hold your place and let's just look at this very quickly. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And look there at verse 1. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham... our father, Abraham, you know, he's now the father of many nations. It says, we say about Abraham, our father, who was found according to the flesh. In other words, by his own labor or by his own works. For if Abraham was justified, or literally, remember, justified means to be declared righteous by God. If Abraham was justified by works, well, boy, he has something to brag about or boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And now it's going to quote what we just read there in Genesis 15:6. Abraham, what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Church, listen to me. The result of faith alone, simply believing God. That's all that we can do. We're not good enough. We're not worthy enough. When a person is saved, you know what? You just simply believe. And it was accounted to him for righteousness or imputed into his account. Listen, that's a bookkeeping term in the Bible. When it says it was accounted to him, a very important word. You know what that word really means? It means this: sin was transferred from our account and righteousness was transferred into our account. Are you getting that? Man, is that what we call the great exchange? That was incredible. In other words, our sins are no longer put to our account. And let me say something to you. If you're in Christ, your sins have been judged. Jesus took our sins. Amen? That means they'll never be put to your account. How do I know that? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, when Abraham believed, just like we believe, was he made righteous? No. No, he wasn't made righteous. He was counted righteous. In other words, it was imputed. It was put, not imparted righteousness, but imputed righteousness. It was put to his account, that great transfer. In other words, as we do today when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have to our account the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Amen? No, that's wonderful to know that on communion night, isn't it? Aren't you glad it says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith or declared righteous by God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Justification, being declared righteous by God. You've heard me say it 1,000 times from this pulpit. Justification is not something that happens in us. It's something that happens to us. Amen? It is a judicial decision by God when the believing sinner says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. God declares the believing sinner righteous or as if he had never sinned in God's eyes. Why? Jesus took the sin. And it's not even a feeling. It is a judicial fact, and it's a change in our relationship to God. And justification is not pardon. Okay? You know, like you get in trouble, you go to jail and you get a DWI and you spend 2 months in jail and you pay for having a DWI or whatever it is, but it's always going to be on your record. And you get out, you've served your debt to society. Well, that's not so with God. God doesn't remember our sin anymore, amen? It's far as the east is from the west. I tell you, I thank God tonight. When we hold that cup and that bread, you need to remember tonight that our sins are gone, amen? We are cleansed, washed. Our sins are far as the east is to the west. As Micah said, they are on the eternal depth of the sea, never to be brought up again. And we need to quit fishing in that sea, bringing up our old past, the old dead man. Amen? Let him go. So justification. Now look back at verse 7 now in Genesis 15. So Abraham believed the Lord, okay, and he counted to him for righteousness. And then he said to Abram, I love this. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, Abe. Me. I'm anything that you will ever need in your life. And I am the one who what brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Did you catch that? To give you this land. I wish someone in the United Nations, I wish someone there would read this scripture, amen? The land, God has given it to them, and the land is an important part of the Abrahamic covenant. It belongs to Israel, it belongs to his descendants. And verse 8, he says, and he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Now, he's not walking in faith, lack of faith right now. He's just saying, well, Lord, how is that going to happen? And that's not a bad question. Lord, can you give me a little bit more information since you're giving me a vision and we're talking to one another? I'd like you to fill me in. And so he said to him, now watch this. Before us is what's known as cutting the covenant with the blood, okay? So God said to Abram, prepare a sacrifice. Prepare an innocent substitute. He said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. So what did Abraham do? He's doing this for the Lord. The Lord is instructing him. And he's killed the animals. He's laid them out. And he's created a walkway. If think of a three-year-old heifer, and you split that animal, in other words, from the top of the head all the way down the middle, you cut it in half. You put half of the sacrifice over here, half of the sacrifice over here, and you line them up just like God said. And what happens is once you do all of that slaughtering, if you will, it's called the pathway of blood. This is a covenant that's getting ready to take place, the cutting of the covenant. Listen to me. Everything God does is by the blood. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Everything from Genesis all the way through Revelation has to do with the blood, has to do with the old covenant and the new covenant. The Old Testament, the New Testament. The word testament means covenant. So here we're looking at this Abrahamic covenant here. And this involves the death of animals. And it's the binding of a promise where you make covenant one with another. And it says, and when the vultures came down on the carcasses, look what happened now. It says Abram drove them away. So Abraham is simply following the instructions. He's waiting on the Lord. He spent the rest of the day fighting off birds, these unclean birds of prey that come to devour the flesh of these animals. You know, I know it's not said here, but I know this is something demonic. Amen? Something that's attacking here. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Now listen, in the cutting of the covenant, when the sacrifices are laid out and the walkway of blood is made, both parties would walk up and down that and make an agreement. It was a bond. It was one of the highest covenants that you could make then and even now. Go to Africa and they still make a blood covenant. And when you see this, the thing that I want you to see, or I'm trying to explain tonight, is that only God is going to walk through the walkway of blood. No one else. Abraham is not going to do one thing. He's, matter of fact, God is what? Knocking him out. A deep sleep's coming upon him and all of these things. And God is in a sense, removing him from this. So God is the one that's making the promises to Abraham. Abraham is not making the promises of God. All that Abraham has to do is lay there and sleep. Is that okay? He's not going to be involved in this at all. And now listen, in this deep sleep, God is revealing something to Abraham. He is revealing a plan for the nation. He's revealing a plan for Abraham's life. And he's also revealing the plan for the land of Israel. So then he said to Abraham, know certainly. In other words, you can be sure about it, Abram, that your descendants, your seed, your offspring will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them and they will afflict them for 400 years. Isn't that amazing that God told that to Abraham and that it's written and recorded because what God said came to pass? And you know who this is. In other words, the children of Israel, remember Joseph went into Egypt. He was there. Then he called Jacob and his brothers and they came down. There were a total of 70. And then later on, they multiplied and multiplied till there was over 1 million Jews there in the land of Egypt. And God called them out of that land and they were there for 400 years and they served them in slavery and afflicted, suffering. Let me ask you a question. What brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt? How'd they get out? By the blood, by the Passover, by the blood of sprinkling, remember? On the lintels of the doorpost. Everything is by the blood. Why? Because the children of Israel, his offspring, they're part now of the blood covenant, if you will, that was made right here in the Abrahamic covenant. And also the nation whom they serve, God says, I will judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great possession. So, you know, God sent the 10 plagues there upon Egypt. And after a while, they were, you know, God was saying, you go to Pharaoh, Moses, you tell him, let my people go. And after a while, they said, go here and take all this silver. They were giving it to him as they were leaving town. You remember that. But they came out by the blood. And then as for you, I love this part. And as for you, Abraham, you're not going to see all this, But as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Isn't that wonderful? What a promise. You know, Abram was 75 years old when God called him, and he died when he was 175 years old, which means that he walked with God for one century, for 100 years. How good God is. But in the fourth generation, in other words, after 400 years, they shall return here. In other words, the children of Israel, they'll return to the promised land, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. In other words, hasn't reached its full measure. So God is long-suffering, and the Amorites never repented. You know that, and they were destroyed. And may I say something to you? We're living in a world right now, and it's not yet full. Our iniquity here is not yet full, but one day it will be, and I don't know how close we are. And it came to pass when the sun went down, and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven. In other words, a fire, the judgment of God. And a burning torch, a fire. Remember, our God is a consuming fire that passed between those pieces. So it was God and God alone, the presence of the Lord, who went through the pathway of blood, if you will. And on the same day, the Lord made, or literally cut, a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given. Did you catch that? See, before it says, I will give it. Now it says, I have given. The covenant is now in effect. He says, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Do you know how big that is? And first of all, it takes in all of Syria. How would you like to go tell the king of Syria about that today, huh? All of Syria, not only that, all the way up to Iraq and all the way down to Egypt. And then he says, and the Kenites and the Kazanites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites, Canaanites and Gergerites and the Jebusites, meaning all the enemies of Israel, will one day be disposed. Now, listen, Israel, it's funny tonight we can sit here and say, well, there's still a battle over the land. Isn't that funny? There's always going to be a battle over the land. But Israel has never, under Solomon or even under David, they have never possessed the land in its entirety. So when is this going to happen? Well, Bill, they're back in the land. Israel became a nation in May of 1948, yes. But they don't. Do they have this kind of land today? No. So when is this going to happen? It's going to happen at the second coming of Christ, isn't it? When the Lord returns. But let me say something. This covenant with the land, with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, is an unconditional covenant. It's unconditional. It is guaranteed by the God who never lies. Listen, it has absolutely, I don't care, it doesn't have anything to do with whether Israel believes or not. See, Abraham doesn't have a part in this. God's the one who promised. See, we can make all the promises we want to God, but we fail all the time, don't we? But God's promises have never failed us. See, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He's the Lord. He'll never let us down. Whatever God says, He will bring it to pass. And this is an unconditional blood covenant. Very important in the old covenant here. It didn't depend on man's faith or faithfulness or any of those things. Now listen, we have a new covenant tonight. Amen? A new covenant based on better promises and so forth with a better mediator. And whenever you believe in Jesus, because this covenant was established by Jesus, He died upon the cross. He was that sacrifice for us. And when you believe in Him, you enter into the new covenant of God, the new covenant that He made. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, meaning He died, Jesus, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having, that's past tense, having obtained eternal redemption. All Abraham did was believe God, and all that we do is believe God too. Amen? Amen? Simple faith. So tonight, as we prepare for communion, gentlemen, I want to just read a few things to you, share a few things with you as they're passing out communion, and listen very carefully. Let me turn to my text over in Corinthians. But what does God really want to do tonight? You ever ask yourself that? I mean, Lord, what do you really want to do tonight? You know, we're a people of such routine. You know, we've worked all day. Some of us had dinner. Some of us had not have any dinner tonight. Some of you have horrible headaches, sinuses, and all. You know what I'm talking about. It's typical living. Amen? But what does God really want to do tonight? To tell you the truth, I don't have a clue. But God is always doing something. But He has to have the opportunity to do something. And I think sometimes we hurry the Lord. You know, it's a Wednesday night. We're tired, worn out. We want to get home. We want to get the kids to bed, or maybe work got to do home, have to do homework or whatever before we go to bed. Maybe there's a still, you know, the towels are in the dryer, and you've got to fold them when you get home. You know what I'm talking about? We're all busy. But I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you really want to do? And again, I don't really know. But you know, the Bible tells us about this new covenant that we're celebrating tonight. It says in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness, the very presence of God. How? By the blood of Jesus. Under the old covenant, remember that the high priest could only enter into the holy of holies how many times a year? One time a year, and then only by the blood. Why don't we tonight place the same worth on the blood of Jesus as God the Father does? Because by that blood, not only are we saved, forgiven, washed, cleansed, redeemed, but we have access into His presence. Amen? We really do. We have access into His presence. And I'm going to say something, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but some of you tonight, you need a new beginning. You need a new beginning. Your marriage needs a new beginning. Some of you need a new beginning when it comes to the words that's coming out of your mouth. You need to, listen, I'm going to say something to you, and I say this, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm tired, and when I'm tired, I'm just going to spit it out. It is demonic. It is ungodly. It is vile. It is wicked. It is cursed for a blood-bought believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God and claims to be a Christian to let filth spew from their mouth. It's sin. And whenever a Christian does that, listen to me now, I'm telling you, you are partnering with the character of the devil. Take it any way you want it. Read it any way you want it. That's just the way it is. Man, the things that come out of our mouth, you know, like James says, should not be salt water and fresh water. Amen? We don't speak with a forked tongue. We speak the Word of God. When you speak evil of other people, it is a wickedness in the eyes of God. If you do, not saying you do, but if you do. We're celebrating communion tonight. We're about to partake of the bread and the cup of this new covenant. If you are operating in that, I suggest tonight that you go to the Lord before you partake and say, Father, cleanse me of that wickedness. Amen? There's a generation, the Bible says, that is clean in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filthiness. We don't want to be that generation. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:22, Jesus has become the surety of a better covenant. That we just learned about the Abrahamic covenant. Jesus is now our surety of a better covenant. We are Christians of the new covenant. You know what that means when it says He's a surety of a new covenant? Here's what it means. It means that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, backs up every word and every sentence in the new covenant. Amen? Every word. He backs it up. He's the guarantee. He's the surety. He's the covenant. He made the covenant. He says, I'm dying for the sins of the world. You know what that means? It means, listen, Jesus is our great high priest. It means He's in heaven representing you. He's not in the tomb. It is empty. He's no longer on the cross. Our sin has been paid for. sin and death and Satan are all defeated. And guess what? Jesus is Lord of all. Lord of all. He is our Lord tonight. He is our mediator, intercessor. He is our advocate. He is our soon coming King. Jesus is everything. Listen to me now. Jesus is our surety, the new covenant. Jesus is our guarantee. We really do have eternal life. Amen. No, we really do. Our position tonight, because of the new covenant, because of Christ, our position in Christ is 100% secure. No one will ever snatch you. If you're born again, if you're born from above, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, no one, no one will ever snatch you out of His hand. Amen? There needs to come a time in the moment of the history of this church when we need to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. Whatever you want to do in our lives, in the life of this body, do it. I mean, listen to me. When I show up in a room at my house, I'm there to do something. I'm going to go to bed. There's something I'm doing. If I go to the bathroom, I'm going there to shave. Amen? If I'm going into the bedroom, I'm going there to sleep. If I'm going into the living room, I'm there to be a couch potato or something, okay? Well, when I'm in my house, I'm doing something. Well, God is in His house tonight. And I know that some of you I just know because the Lord's been just all week long. You just need a new beginning. You're ready to leave the old way. You're ready to get off the broad road. You're tired. You're worn out. Matter of fact, you're dead. And you know it. Your prayer life is dead. You don't spend time with God anymore. And man, He's there wanting you. He's wanting to speak to you. And you read your Bible and says, okay, yeah, God is my shield, but it doesn't hit your heart anymore. You read it, says, you know, I am your exceedingly great reward, and you read it, but it's just words on a page, and it doesn't come into your heart. It doesn't break your heart. It doesn't encourage you. It doesn't comfort you, because you're just away from God. Tonight we were singing about draw near the Lord, but it says if you want God to draw near to you, you draw near to Him. He's already right there. All you have to do is say, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I name Jesus as my Lord, and I've made a mess of everything. I don't even believe anymore. I don't even have any faith anymore. I'm doubting everything. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God says, listen, I really am your shield. Oh yeah, faithless, I love you. You can't run me off because you're faithless. You can't make me leave because you're not believing my word. You think that not believing my word is going to shatter the kingdom of God? No, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right beside you because I promised you that I would be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? I say it so often. I say it to myself so often. Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Never. I've fallen short so much in my life. but God has never fallen short for me. His love has never gone up or down. It's always remained constant, never changing. I cannot change God's love for me. God loves you. And He loves you so much that He sent us the bread of life. Amen. He came down. He came down from heaven to give us life, to give us life abundantly. The Bible says, take, eat. This is my body, Jesus said. This is my body which is broken for you. Isn't that good news? It's broken for you. And then you know what he says? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, we love you tonight. Oh God, we praise you tonight. There's so many, oh bread of life, there is so many, Lord, that they need life tonight. They need a new beginning tonight. They need fresh power, fresh courage. Oh God, in Jesus' name, please pour out your Spirit upon your sheep. Help them, Lord. Let us partake of the bread as we do in remembrance of our Lord. In Jesus' name, let us partake. May I be bold with you tonight? There is nothing too hard for God. Amen? Now, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is the new covenant, the cup, Jesus said. This is the blood, he said. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, meaning he's coming. Tonight, I need a miracle. I don't schedule miracles, but I rely on them. I need a miracle. Do you need one? I believe tonight when I partake, as I do this in remembrance of Him, the new covenant, it's a better covenant based on better promises. Amen? Every word is now backed up in the New Testament by the new covenant. It is the new covenant. It's backed up by Jesus. He is the sacrifice for our sins. I'm asking for a miracle. I'm asking for a miracle for you. Father, as our heads are bowed, I have nowhere else to turn but to you. There is no help from man. There is only you, Lord. You are my shield tonight. You are my exceedingly great reward. You are the shield of every believer in this room. Our protection. You are our portion, our reward. You are our provider. This is the new covenant, Lord. No one on earth has it but a Christian. This is the blood of the new covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no entry into heaven. Lord, you said greater works. You said if we ask anything in prayer, you said you'd do it. Not because we're worthy, but Lord, you said it. I don't know what anything means. I just know, Lord, that we need you tonight. And we need a miracle. So when we partake of this cup of the new covenant and all that it represents, and you being the surety of that new covenant, not only do we do it and proclaim your death until you come back, Lord, and not only do we do it in remembrance of you, we receive every promise in the new covenant. We believe every promise. We receive every promise because you back every promise up. So we receive our miracle tonight. Any way you choose to give it to us. In Jesus' name, let us be believing as we partake of the cup. Let us partake. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. We praise you now, Lord. We just worship you now in spirit and in truth. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Oh, Lord, set a flame, set a fire in our hearts again. Help us, Lord. Help us tonight. Would you just touch people, heal their bodies, remove that horrible depression and that oppression, lifting the hand of every demonic oppression that be in our midst, off of their home, off of their children, off of their minds, off of their possessions. And let the supernatural peace of God that passes understanding inhabit the praises of your people. Lord God, touch us. Make things anew. Make things fresh again. Give us back the joy of our salvation. We love you. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight and worship the Lord before we leave.